Now, it is easier and it is always more comfortable for a local church to have a ministry that is about ourselves. But let us remember today that Jesus Christ does not say, "Follow me and I will take you on a delightful cruise." He says, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men."
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, if we're going to be truly following Christ, it sounds like he's going to be taking us out of our comfort zone sometimes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I love the words, "I will make you fishers of men." In other words, this is a promise. Jesus is saying, "I will make you something that you're not. I'll do something new that's in your life. I'll bring ministry to you that you would never otherwise have had." We find ministry by following Christ, and that's the most marvelous privilege that's given to every Christian.
You know, you sometimes hear Christians say, "Well, I don't know that I could do that. God's not gifted me this way. I don't know that I'm called to do this." Sounds like you may not have an excuse after listening to today's message.
Yeah, well, I just want to say to someone who's thinking that, you never know what Jesus Christ will make of you until you follow him all the way. So just keep pressing hard after Jesus and he'll take care of what he makes you. But he'll certainly make of you something that you were not at the beginning. And the outcome of that at the end of the Christian life is going to be something quite spectacular.
Well, today we're in Matthew chapter 4. So I hope you'll open your Bible. Join us there as we begin a message, "Jesus will use you to win others." Here is Pastor Colin.
We're continuing to look at some of the great promises of the Lord Jesus Christ, in which he specifically states something that he will do. And today, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19, familiar words, I think, to many of us. Jesus says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Christ promises evangelistic fruitfulness to his church. That's what we have here. "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." He is saying, if we follow him, our ministry will result in other people coming to him. Let's begin then with learning from the analogy. Jesus describes ministry in terms of this picture of fishing, and that just is so full of resonances for us, ways in which we can learn about ministry. I just want to give you 7 observations that occur to me that are very obvious. I'm sure in the life groups you will be able to think of a boatload, pardon the pun, of other analogies in relation to this, and many of us will be telling fishing stories this week, I'm sure. Okay, what do we learn from this analogy? Number one, some people are really good at fishing, but anyone can do it. How many folks here would describe themselves as fishermen? How many? A few here. Different question. How many of us in this congregation have ever caught a fish? Almost everybody. Now, isn't that interesting? Okay. I would not describe myself as a fisherman. I have absolutely no expertise in this regard, but even I have caught a fish. Now, here's what we learn. God gives certain people gifts of evangelism, but every Christian can play a part in drawing other people to Christ, including you. Second observation, fishing requires great patience. That takes the prize for the most obvious statement of the day, doesn't it? It requires great patience. You throw out a line, you throw out a net or whatever it is, and then you wait. You throw it out again, and then you wait. Fishing requires great patience. Some of us have been praying for a loved one and witnessing to a loved one for many years. Many years. Fishing requires great patience. Third observation, fishermen learn how to deal with discouragement. Remember when Jesus met with the disciples, they had worked all night and they had caught nothing. And Jesus himself knew what it was to bear witness to himself, to eternal life, and to the matters of faith. We saw this last week. And then to say in John 6 and verse 36, "You've seen me, but still you do not believe." And so fishermen have to learn that where you go out and you've worked very hard and you've caught nothing, what do? You get up early the next day and you go out again and you carry on and you do the same thing. Fourth, Christ invites us to come fishing, not to go hunting. Now, there's a big difference. And the analogy that Christ chooses, I think, is significant. And I mention this, you know, because there are some Christians with very strong personalities And when they get going, they sound more like hunters than they do like fishermen. You know what I mean by that? Remember, there is an art to fishing. Fish are drawn. Peter gives wise counsel to Christians who want to win others to Christ. He says, we are always to speak with gentleness and with respect. So let's remember this in our approach to those who are not yet believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that our Lord invites us to come fishing. It is fishing. It's not hunting. Big difference. Number five, the church is a fishing boat, not a pleasure boat. Now, my wife grew up, as some of you know, on the south coast of England, beautiful part of the world. And she loves the sea. And so when we go back and see her folks, we have a delightful place to visit. And we often spend time hanging around in the area of the harbor. And down there, as you would see in most other harbors and small towns in England or elsewhere, you can very immediately see two completely different kinds of boats. You have the boats that are there for pleasure. They take pleasure trips around the bay. And there are other boats that are there for the guys who make their living by fishing. Now, the boats are constructed in an entirely different way, and they operate in an entirely different way. The pleasure boats are all about convenience and comfort. They have cushions all over, you know? And they go out at times that people want to go. And they hug the shoreline so that people can enjoy the magnificent view. They are very safe. That's the pleasure boats. The fishing boats are entirely different. They launch out into the deep. The crews take risks. They make sacrifices. And you look at these boats, frankly, there is very little comfort. Now, it is easier and it is always more comfortable for a local church to have a ministry that is about ourselves. But let us remember today that Jesus Christ does not say, follow me and I will take you on a delightful cruise. He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So there's a moment for an amen coming up. I'm just giving you that as a cue. This church is not a pleasure boat. This church is a fishing boat. Amen. Amen. That's very important. It's defining, and it ought to set expectations for us as well. Sixth observation. Fishing is hard work and sometimes dangerous. Have you watched that program, Deadliest Catch? Man, that thing is addictive once you've seen one episode. These guys out on the Bering Sea in the freezing cold catching crab, it is one of the most dangerous jobs in the world. And if you read the Acts of the Apostles, you will see that the work of pioneer evangelism is right up there in the same category, one of the most dangerous jobs in the world. But the best fishing, isn't this interesting? The best fishing is often in the most difficult waters. That bears thinking about. Seventh observation. There is great joy in catching fish. Now, the great majority of us here know what it is to catch at least one fish. It's happened in our lives. You know this. Isn't it interesting when a guy or a lady catches a fish, they always want to have their photograph taken with the thing. Isn't that interesting? And did you ever see a person who's caught a fish, you know, holding the thing, did you ever see them looking miserable in the photograph? They're always smiling. Why? Because there is great joy in catching a fish, and there is far greater joy in seeing a person come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Joy for us, and there is, Jesus says, joy in heaven. So this is a profoundly helpful picture. It helps us to frame our understanding of what ministry is like and what we should expect it to be. Ministry is like fishing. And just before we move on, let me just point out one obvious difference. I'm sure there are others too. When fish are caught, one of two things happen. It's either catch and release, or it's kill and eat, isn't it? I mean, I suppose that's the alternative. And neither of these two things relate to our work of evangelism. When we fish for men, what are we doing? We are fishing so that they may be saved and so that they may be fed.
Pastor Colin Smith with a helpful analogy looking at fishing and comparing that to how we win others for Christ. Well, we're going to pause right here, but we'll get back to the message in just a moment, so hope you'll stay with us. Our message is called, Jesus Will Use You to Win Others, part of a series, Rock Solid, 7 Promises Christ Makes to You. And you can listen to every broadcast online at openthebible.org, Or you can order a copy of this entire series on CD. Ask about Rock Solid when you call 1-877-OPEN-365, or you'll find ordering information at our website, openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
As we've got our minds into this analogy, let's now use the words of Jesus to help clarify our mission. Jesus says that our mission is about being fishers of men. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So the question here is now, what is our mission and how then are we to fulfill it? Here I want to make just three observations. The first is this. Our mission, according to Jesus, is to catch fish, not to improve the lake. Now, you might want to think about that, but what I'm trying to say is simply this, that our mission is about people coming to Jesus Christ. That's its focus. It is not so much on the environment in which people live. Now, this is a very important issue, and I want to take a few minutes to explain why understanding it clearly is critical to us. Obviously, any fisherman who's clear in his mind will have an interest in having cleaner and better lakes. But improving the quality of the lake is not the job of the fisherman. The job of the fisherman is to catch the fish, and that is critical for our understanding of mission. Now, let me give you a little bit of a background here, and I have a very specific reason for doing this today. Evangelical Christians have for centuries had a clear understanding of the message and the mission of the gospel. The message is the incarnation and the atonement. God became man in Jesus Christ. Christ died on the cross, bearing our sins. He rose triumphantly from the dead, breaking the power of death through his resurrection. And this Christ offers forgiveness of sins and peace with God and new life in the power of the Holy Spirit and beyond death an entrance not into hell that we deserve, but into everlasting joy in the presence of God. That's the message. The mission is to proclaim this gospel to people of every nation, of every culture, taking every opportunity, inviting them to receive what Jesus Christ offers. So that coming to him in repentance and faith, trusting him as Savior and following him as Lord, everything that he holds in his hand may come to be the possession of the one who comes to him. Now that's the message, that's the mission as it has been understood by evangelicals for centuries. But you know that there is an offense within this message. It involves the uniqueness of Jesus Christ, saying that he can do what no one else can do, that you have to come to him. It involves speaking about sin and guilt before God, which in an affirming culture, where everyone likes to be told how good they are all the time, that obviously is going in the opposite direction. It involves speaking even about hell, and who likes that? So none of us should be surprised to find that through the years, alternatives come up and sometimes seize the imagination of parts of the church. About 100 years ago, a new movement arose in the church that was known as liberalism. Liberalism did not accept the inspiration and authority of the Bible, and so it selected certain truths from the Bible and discarded other truths from the Bible. In the first half of the last century, virtually every major city in Europe had a church that was filled with many people that was basically advancing the liberal message and the liberal mission. This had great appeal to many, many people, but it had no power. And so within a very short period of time, what happened was that these once apparently thriving churches became empty and became dead, and you can visit the monuments that they are in many, many cities still. Now, liberalism had a different message that drove a different mission. The different message was this. The message of liberalism was not the incarnation and the atonement. It was the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of men. The message was, God loves you, and we must love one another. Now, folks, that's true, but that is not the gospel. You don't need Jesus Christ to be born into the world or to suffer and die on the cross or to rise from the dead in order to proclaim that message. You don't need repentance and faith. You don't need conversion. There's no hell to be saved from in that. But what happened inevitably was that the new message led to a new mission. Liberalism changed the mission of the church from individual salvation to cultural transformation. That is a massive redefinition. In other words, liberalism said, no, it's no longer about trying to address particularly the fish. It's no longer being fishers of men. It's about improving the quality of life in the environment in which the fish live. It's about improving the quality of the lake, as it were. They began to speak like this. Instead of saying our ministry is to lead people to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ through the gospel, they said our ministry is to change society. Our ministry is to end poverty, so forth and so on. Now, there is nothing new under the sun. And today, we are seeing a resurgence of some of these old liberal ideas. So you begin to hear people talking about bringing the kingdom of God into the city and so forth and so on, and how the church will change the city, and how we can end poverty, and how that's our calling, and so forth and so on. And many Christians become confused. They don't know where this is coming from. This week, I came across a statement by Dr. Jim Packer that made the issue very, very clear. So I want to read it to you, because Dr. Jim Packer, if you don't know that name, is probably one of the most respected and articulate teachers and leaders within the evangelical movement, and has been now for well over half a century. He's in his 80s, an esteemed and godly leader. And Packer says this: liberalism has habitually identified the Spirit's renewing work with some form of cultural transformation in human society, as opposed to the regenerative transformation of individuals brought to know Jesus Christ. So he says there's been this massive shift. What liberalism does is it says the work of the Spirit isn't to change the individual, the work of the Spirit is to change the environment in which the individual lives. And he says this identification has constantly obstructed the necessary assertion that God's basic method of changing society is to change the individuals who compose it. That's a crucial insight. And very clearly and wonderfully stated. Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men. And God's method of changing society is by changing the individuals who compose it. So this is very important for us to have clarity about our mission, so we do not become confused as to what it is. Our mission is to catch men, not to improve the lake. Understanding that, then, we will begin to see that keeping the net in good order is essential to our mission. I will make you fishers of men. It's interesting in verse 21, when Jesus meets with James and John for the first time, what are they doing in verse 21? They're mending, or the NIV says they're preparing their nets. And I guess these guys, as they were fishermen with that technique, they threw out a net into the water and then hauled it in again. A large part of their life was devoted to making sure that the net was in good shape. You throw out a net, lots of holes in it, obviously you're not going to be very successful in catching fish. So in trying to define our mission more clearly, we're saying it's about catching men, not improving the lake. And if we understand that, then keeping the net in good repair is essential to our mission. This week I read a little book that I really enjoyed. It's got such a quaint title because it was written in 1773. The fact it's still in print shows its value. It's called The Art of Man Fishing by Thomas Boston. That's about as quaint as you can get. Boston wrote these thoughts when he was 22 years of age, and he read in his quiet time Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19 that's before us today. And God's Spirit so burned a passion into his heart, he said, God, I want to be able to do what you say. So what will it take for me to become a fisher of men? And he wrote down his meditations. The main thing that he focuses on is the net. we're going to catch fish, we've got to have the right net. And he talks about the net of the gospel net. Found that very, very helpful. And here are three observations that he makes. He says, the net is woven from the promises of the gospel. In other words, if we want to see men and women drawn to Jesus Christ, we have to be good at spreading the net. In other words, opening up the promises of Jesus Christ. Let me put that another way. You want to draw people to Jesus Christ, tell them what Jesus promises to do. Tell them what he's done for you. Tell them what he can do for them. The draw of the gospel is in the promises of Jesus. Tell what we looked at last week. If anyone comes to Jesus Christ, he says, I will never drive them away. Spread out the promises of the gospel. That's essential to our communication with those who do not yet believe. Then Boston says, second observation, if you want to catch fish, you must make sure that the mesh of your net is not too wide. That's an interesting observation. If the mesh is wide, the fish will swim into it, and then they'll swim out of it. Obvious point. So he says, if you only speak general truths about God, if all you ever say to people is, you know, God loves you, and you never really get to the specifics about Jesus Christ, you won't catch many fish. He says, if all you do is just talk in general terms, like people do all the time today about faith, without ever getting to the one we have faith in and what it is in which we trust him, if you never get there, then we're not going to catch many fish or see clear conversions to Jesus Christ. So he says, make sure that you're not just talking generalities, but that you really are speaking about Jesus Christ and what he's able to do for a person clearly. Third observation, I found this fascinating. He says, the net must have weights on it and in the right proportion. Now, think about this, net fishing. If you just have a net and you throw the net into the water, what will happen? The net will just float on the water, right? You won't catch any fish then. So he says the net, in order to catch fish, needs to have weights on it. Now, the net, he says, is the promises of the gospel. That's the great draw. But he says the net must have some weights on it. And what are the weights? He says the weights are the law of God. In other words, people will come to Christ when they hear what he offers and when they see their need of it.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and we have to pause the message right here, but we'll continue next time. Our message is called Jesus Will Use Us to Win Others, part of a larger series, Rock Solid, 7 Promises Christ Makes to You. And if you ever miss a broadcast in our series, come and listen online at openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported program. We're able to be on the station because of your generosity, and as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to offer you 2 copies of Pastor Colin's newly illustrated book called Christmas Stories. One for you, one to give away. And Colin, what is Christmas Stories, and who's the book for?
Well, it's for the whole family. Christmas Stories, it really tells the story of the birth of Christ from the perspective of various people who were involved in the event at the time. Over the years, I told the Christmas story through the eyes of Mary and Joseph and Simeon and even King Herod. And these stories have been brought together by our partners at 10 of Those Publishing, and they have been beautifully illustrated. So we have now a Christmas story book that's intended to be read aloud, and it's for all the family. So for you and for your loved ones, here's a way to have something fresh in regards to Christmas. Tell the Christmas story, read it out loud with those who you love. Christmas Stories, I'm delighted to be able to commend it this month.
Well, we want to send you not just one, but 2 copies of this book as our way of saying thank you for your financial support. One for you and your family, one to give away. You can find out more when you visit our website, openthebible.org, or call and give your gift of support at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. And again, the website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
At Open the Bible, We're grateful for like-minded organizations committed to sharing the gospel around the world. And to that end, I'd like to commend the work of Global Fingerprints. You know, in the book of James, God calls us to help orphans in their distress. That's a clear command, but it's not always clear how we should obey it. And this is where Global Fingerprints comes in. Through Global Fingerprints, you can sponsor a vulnerable child to help meet their physical needs and ensure they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to commend Global Fingerprints to you. They're focused on equipping the local church to care for children, and where there is no church, they help to plant one. If you'd like to help a vulnerable child, you can find more information on Global Fingerprints at our website, openthebible.org/GF. That's openthebible.org/GF.